Heavenly Father, I'm about to proclaim your truth. I feel weak. I feel unworthy, O Lord, to proclaim such a precious word. Yet, Lord, your people here present would like to be encouraged, would like to be strengthened, would like to hear the divine truth being proclaimed. And so, Lord, I need your assistance. I need your help. Would you please come and preach this word that I'm not able to preach on my own, O Lord? And would you please bless everyone who is present here and those who are watching us online? Let your presence, O Lord, be among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please open your Bibles in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you will live. That's the word of God. I'd like to start with two quotes. One is from a Roman poet who lived during the time of Augustus in the year 40 before Jesus Christ. And the second one will be from an English novelist and philosopher by the name of William Hazlitt. This is what William Hazlitt said. Man is the only animal that laughs and weeps, for he is the only animal that is struck by the difference between what things are and what ought to be. So what does William say? He's saying actually that we are the only animals who are struck with the difference between what things are and things and how things ought to be. It means we are expecting things to be, to happen in a certain way, but we happen to live a different thing. And this is someone who lives during Christianity in the 16th century. And the second one is a Roman poet by the name of Naso. He says, I see and approve of the better, but I follow the worse. I see and I approve of the better, but I follow the worse. And I think we can identify with this, that there is something we know that we ought to do, but most of the time we do the different thing. We do the opposite. And I think this is the message of Romans. This is the message of the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, in chapter 1, he starts by addressing to the Gentiles. He's telling them, you people, you have gotten the natural revelation. You have the trees, you have the nature to tell you about God. But the problem is you failed to worship God. Even if the law is written in your heart, but you have failed to do that. And then he moves to the Jews in chapter 2. He tells them, God has given you the law. But what happens? You are not able to follow even the law. That's why in chapter 3, he concludes by saying, Romans 3, 10 to 12, he says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. He's talking, you Gentiles, you have this law written on your heart, but you have failed to worship God. And even you Jews, you have the law, but also you have failed. And then he concludes, no one understands. No one seeks God. It means all of us are condemned now. All of us have sinned. And then he goes all the way to chapter 8. He says, chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Those who have believed in Jesus Christ, condemnation has been removed from them. It means at the final day, the day of judgment, when all of us will be present in front of the most holy God, condemnation will not be our portion because Christ has died for us. He saved us, not because of the things we have done, not because of the performance. You know, what the law could not do, Christ Jesus did it. The law couldn't save us from our sins, but Christ saved us. What your behaviors, what your performance could not do, what your good works could not do, but Christ did. What your morality could not achieve, but Christ achieved it by means of the cross, by means of his death and resurrection. That's why there is no condemnation, because we are in Christ, because Christ has saved us. We are his people. And now the question is, if this is true with us, if this is our new identity, if this is what we have become in Jesus Christ, if there is now no condemnation, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live in response to that? And this is where actually Romans 8:13 comes. He says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, what will happen? You will live. Okay? So there are two things that I would like to expand to explain from this passage. You will notice, actually, there is a death that leads to life. And there is a kind of life that leads to death. So I'm going to start with a kind of life that leads to death. First, a kind of life that leads to death. He says, if you live, it means life, if you live according to the flesh, it means according to the passions of the human nature, according to the passions of the unredeemed nature, what will happen? You will die. Christ came. He suffered for us. He died so that our old nature will be crucified with him. And now he calls us not to live according to the passions of the old nature. That old man has gone. He has been crucified. And now, don't live according to that old nature, because what will happen? You will die. Secondly, a kind of death that leads to life. Die now and live tomorrow. Or live now and die tomorrow. Actually, that's the summary of that passage. And now, secondly, a kind of death that leads to life. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, what will happen? You will live. Notice what Paul says. Paul does not say, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. No. He says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. It's actually the Holy Spirit who helps us to put to death those deeds of the body. It's not by my strength, it's not by my power, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that we put to death the deeds of the body. And it's a daily work. It's not something you do today and you stop. It's a continuous thing. Keep on putting to death the deeds of the body. We are Christians. We fight against sin. We fight against the devil. And we fight against the world. So there is no time to rest. There is no even cessation. We are fighting each and every day. We are putting to death each and every day. That's why, actually, the Bible calls us to pray, to even meditate on God's word, because these are the means that the Holy Spirit uses to help us to put these deeds of the body to death. Because this is actually the Holy Spirit, the idea of the Holy Spirit helping us in our fight, it actually frees us from three things. It frees us from what we call asceticism. Asceticism means the idea that it's an extreme self-denial of physical pleasure. You know, if you know people who practice asceticism, they will hide themselves because they think probably the world will corrupt me. Let me be alone here. And let me deprive myself of many things because the world might lead me to sin. But the idea of the Holy Spirit helping us frees us from asceticism. And secondly, it frees us from formalism. Formalism is a strict adherence to a given form of conduct or practice. So when you decide in your heart, I will do this in my own strength, I will do this. And thirdly, it frees us from legalism. It's a doctrine of salvation by strictly adhering to the requirement of the law without the power of the Holy Spirit. So the idea of the Holy Spirit helping us to put to death the deeds of the body frees us from all these things. This is actually what Paul expresses in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. If you actually read that passage, you'll notice two things. There is your responsibility, and there is also God's intervention. Work out, for it is God who gives you strength, who enables you to work out your own salvation. And so we should, a few months ago, I bought a cart because we had some rats in our house, so I needed to have a cart to chase those rats. Unfortunately, it reached sometimes we neglected the cart. We couldn't give it food, and it started to shrink, actually, and it started to lose weight. For me, that's actually the picture of what happens with the beast inside us, with this animal inside us that tries to push us to do bad things, that tries to disobey God. If we keep on feeding that thing in us, what will happen? It will grow. And it will lead us to do things that we are not allowed to do in the Bible. But if we starve, if we starve that little thing in us, if we deny it with its food, it will die. If you feed the beast, what the beast will do? Will grow and devour you. But if you deny it with its food, it will lose even its strength to attack you. In other words, if you think this place, if you don't want to fall, and you think this place is slippery, if you think that you can slide here and you don't want to fall, well, why are you walking on this side? If you do not want to fall, do not walk where it is slippery. Walk on the other side. Because if you walk there, you will fall. In other words, if you do not, for example, if you do not want to lust, for example, after women or after men, why watching pornography, for example? You will lust after people. You are feeding that old nature with things that will lead you to obey that old nature. If you feed the beast will devour you. But if you deny it with its food, it will finally die. So if you do not want to fall, do not walk there where it is slippery. Walk the other way. This is actually the same thing that Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 to 8. What does he say? He says, put to death. You know, I think these days we are trying to avoid sensitive words like death, kill. But Paul was not afraid to use those words. But he says, put to death. In other words, kill, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. The question is, why are we supposed to kill, to put to death sin? Why? The answer is, it's because there is a kind of death that leads to life, and there is a kind of life that leads, there is a kind of death that leads to life, and there is a kind of life that leads to death. And the kinds of death that leads to life is the life that is guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit cannot guide you unless you use the means of grace, that is, the reading of the word, prayer, and the coming together of the saints. As we are here, we are being encouraged. We are feeding the new person. And the Holy Spirit used this means to lead us to sanctification, to lead us to holiness. And secondly, it's because our new identity is in Christ. We are his people. In Colossians 3, Paul is saying, set your mind on the things above where Christ is. Our life is hidden in Christ. So set your mind where you are, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There is someone called John Owen who says, be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. It's a process. It's a daily thing. We do not rest to put sin to death. We are constantly killing it. And the means that we have is the Word of God that the Holy Spirit used to help us to kill that beast that tries to manifest the deeds of the body. May the Holy Spirit help us to walk in the path of sanctification, in the path of holiness. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we are calling you Almighty because there is nothing that is impossible to you, O Lord. You do all things, O Lord. Nothing is hard for you, O Lord. And we come to you because we know that you can help us, O Lord, to continue to put to death this old man that sometimes comes and manifests itself, sometimes strongly. Lord, we pray that we will not be weak in using the means that you have given us, your word, prayer, the coming of together as we do this right now, O Lord. We pray that you will help us, O God. Our desire, Lord, is to walk in your path, O Lord. But sometimes we do fall, we do fail. Would you please strengthen us, O Lord, we pray. Lord, you are our power. You are the grace that we need, O Lord, to walk in this path that you have traced for us, O Lord. And so walk with us and help us to obey you and to trust you, O God. To trust your lead, O Lord, when you are holding us in hands and leading us, O Lord. And we know, Lord, that the day we'll meet with you in heaven, when you will resurrected, you will resurrect our bodies to be with you. Lord, we know that all our fights against sin will cease and we'll live in perfect holiness, O God. Because, Lord, your word declares there is now no condemnation for those who have trusted you, for those who have obeyed you, for those whom you have redeemed by the blood, your blood that you shed on the cross for us. Help us. Help my sister. Help my mother present here. Help my father present here. Help my brother. And help even the little children who have known you or whom you have known, O Lord. Be with us, Lord, and the rest of this day. We surrender everything, the rest of this day, into your holy hands, O God. Lead us in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Amen.